We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, what's up, listeners? This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast. Travis and I are jumping on for an emergency episode here. It's going to be a special edition, episode 37 of the pod. We're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes, this horrific knee injury, what it means for him, the rest of the Chiefs from a Dynasty perspective, and a rest of 2019 perspective. But before we get into that content, I want to encourage you to go to Yahoo Daily Fantasy, make a deposit, and use our promo code VIZ25. You're going to get $25 for free. You can use that money to chase a big GPP jackpot or start your slow cash build journey to a bigger bankroll by the end of 2019. That's code VIZ25. That's VIZ25 at Yahoo Daily Fantasy.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast. It is the home of the biggest edge in Dynasty Fantasy Football. My name is Travis May. I am the Devy Coordinator at RotoViz, and I'm joined by Curtis Patrick again, and he is the Dynasty Coordinator at RotoViz. And we are, like Curtis said in pre-run there, we are talking about Patrick Mahomes and all the Chiefs that are probably, their values are probably very much so up in the air right now as it stands, looking at the rest of this season due to the kind of surprise, well, a big surprise injury to Patrick Mahomes. So, Curtis, obviously, I was on my way home when this happened. I was setting up for the show, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, oh no, oh no. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I don't even have Mahomes basically anywhere on my teams, but I think I have one share of Patrick Mahomes, but I'm sure people are freaking out right now. Are you somebody that's just kind of freaking out over what this means, not only just to Patrick Mahomes, but to the entire Chiefs offense?
Yeah, the ripple effect is going to be brutal. For those of you who maybe are listening to this on the drive-in on Friday morning and did not watch Thursday Night Football, the Chiefs were in scoring position. You know, they opted to run a quarterback sneak with Mahomes, and it looks like he at minimum dislocates his patella. And you know, Travis and I watched at Pro Football Doc's video breakdown. He spent some time, as he always does, on the Island games in particular, breaking down the injury and kind of giving a prognosis. Now he thinks with all the swelling that's going to occur, you know, if you saw this happen in real time, you know, the Chiefs training staff goes out on the field, they pop him on a cart, they get the patella back into place, And then Mahomes actually, you know, he gets down off the cart and walks into the tunnel on his own power. Dr. Chow actually thinks that the swelling is going to be so bad that at minimum we're talking several weeks of time off for Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I think the big issue for those of you that are depending on Mahomes to bring home a championship for you this year is the Chiefs have a bye in week 12 and we're in week 7. So we're talking about, you know, an injury, you know, Dr. Chow's saying, you know, maybe a month is a target on a return for him. Well, you know, that's 4.5 weeks from now is that bye. It kind of seems like a natural pause in the schedule, Travis, for him to come back in week 13. Well, you know, we missed the whole second half of the fantasy season for Mahomes and for all of his targets to not have him under center. This is huge. And this is basically what the Pro Football Doc is saying is maybe the best case scenario. And he's not ruling out, you know, at this time of night, you know, we're recording at 10:30 Eastern on Thursday night. He's saying that, you know, surgery's not out of the question and surgery would absolutely end the season for Patrick Mahomes. He's concerned that that's an option because the Chiefs are going to want to protect this investment, obviously. So, that's the specific scenario that we're hopping on to talk about. Okay. And, before we talk about what you can do to preserve your championship chances, you know, I want to talk to you about ShipStation, speaking of ships. So when you're selling online, Travis, getting your orders out can be a real pain, probably just like getting these passes out to the periphery in Kansas City will be. It can be time-consuming, expensive. There's so many carriers to choose from. How can you possibly know if you're making the right choice? Well, that's where ShipStation.com comes in. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship all of your online orders. ShipStation helps you get out orders quickly, you'll save money on shipping costs, and you're going to keep those customers happy. No matter where you're selling, might be Amazon, Etsy, or your very own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface. It makes them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, and even Amazon Fulfillment. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer on a case-by-case basis. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You're going to ship more in less time with the best rates available. And right now, just for DynastyCommandCenter.com and Dynasty Command Center podcast listeners, you can try ShipStation free for 60 days. Just use the offer code BLUE, as in the color blue. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in the word BLUE. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code BLUE. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. Okay, Travis. Well, you know, again, we're hopping on in emergency fashion here. I think, you know, a reasonable way of going about this would be to, if you've got Mahomes, there's not really much to talk about here. Obviously, you're going to have to, in a one quarterback dynasty league, you're going to be streaming, you know, but, you know, between whatever backups you own, you might have to go out and see who's available in the free agent pool. You know, maybe the Gardner Minshews of the world, Mason Rudolphs of the world are out there. I mean, it's going to be ugly. You might have to make a deal with a rebuilder to grab, you know, a veteran. Maybe somebody's willing to move a Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees or a Tom Brady, somebody at the end of their career for a reasonable price. I'd rather spend this time tonight talking about the running back, wide receiver, and tight end position on the Chiefs, because I think those are the ones that are going to be really hard, especially in single QB leagues. The value is actually at those positions rather than the quarterback position. So let's start with the running backs, Travis. LeSean McCoy really has started to become, you know, the alpha in this committee. Andy Reid is using a full-blown committee for the first time in as long as I can remember, as a play caller. But LeSean McCoy looks like the most valuable piece, extremely efficient, especially on the early downs, rushing the ball, and the receiving work is kind of being spread amongst all the backs there. So what are your thoughts on this injury and what it might mean for LeSean McCoy as a meaningful fantasy chess piece the rest of the year?
Sure. Well, it's good to see that McCoy, first of all, even regardless of this injury, it's good to see that he's getting the work that he deserves. I mean, he's going to be a future Hall of Fame back. And even at age 47, I'm pretty sure he'd still be better than Damian Williams. Not to say that Damian Williams is a horrible player, but LeSean McCoy is still actually showing that he's really solid. I think so. It's great to see that, and that he's getting some run to kind of move up the leaderboards and yards from scrimmage. But you know, the game's actually not even over as we record right now, and McCoy has already had 9 touches to Damian Williams, 4 touches, and that might change down the stretch at some point in the game. But it's great to see McCoy getting the early work and some receiving work, as he's done that his entire career. But we'll get to the wide receivers and tight ends. But the running back position is the one that I'm probably least worried about as it pertains to this Patrick Mahomes injury and the impact that it might have here. The Chiefs actually down the stretch, using the strength of schedule streaming app on RotoViz, we can check out how teams face off with the rest of their opponents down the stretch in terms of right now rushing defenses against certain positions, passing defense against certain positions. And they actually have some decent matchups. They're about a middle of the road type team down the stretch right now. So they got the Packers coming up. Obviously, that's going to be a little bit easier against running backs. Even before the bye, they actually get the Chargers, and they get the Chargers twice, who have given up a ton of rushing yards on the ground. In fact, I believe they're 23rd right now against the run. So pretty soft against the run. So as far as the running backs go, I'm probably least concerned with them. And if they have to actually lean more on the run moving forward, I'm actually kind of excited to see what that means for LeSean McCoy. And perhaps that buoys a couple backs each week that make for instant and at least interesting flex plays. Even if the touchdown and just maximum points per week might not have the same ceiling with whoever is going to be replacing. I guess it's Matt Moore is going to be replacing Patrick Mahomes. I'm not super worried about the McCoys or the Williams any more than I was, but you hate to see the quarterback go down. Are you very concerned and about the running backs specifically, Curtis? And even if not, I mean, are you really looking to buy McCoy and buy if you're kind of a competing team this year?
Well, I don't like that they have the week 12 bye. That's right. The thing that's going to complicate this with all of these positions as we talk about them. Ideally, if you're a competing team right now, this is the time of the year where you start to try to make trades for players who are already past their bye.
Yeah.
Because that's, only going to help you in terms of your starting lineups every week and your flexibility, especially those flex positions or in deeper leagues, to either cover byes for your other players or just to have more players to choose from, obviously. The Chiefs, like I said earlier, have really kind of been spreading those running back targets around. This does not include the Thursday night data yet because we're recording during the game. McCoy and Damian Williams had 15 and 16 targets respectively entering this week, and Darrell Williams actually had 11. I mean they basically got a they're splitting that receiving work three ways, with McCoy being kind of the lead back in terms of the overall opportunity from the running back position. So I guess the one thing I could see, I find it hard to believe that the Chiefs would just roll out Matt Moore for the next month plus, if Mahomes is indeed going to miss this amount of time. I think they bring somebody else in. But until the offense is really appreciated or known, I do think we could see more checkdowns to the running back. So it'll be interesting to see if Reed still wants to use all the different packages that he has for each of these running backs and sub them in and out. I mean, I think I could see him maybe just leaning more on one guy, trying to get somebody hot and slow. I basically go with a totally different type of offense without Mahomes in there, unless he can get somebody that knows his system. If he can get, Nick Foles into Kansas City somehow, if Jacksonville were, willing to give him up, and depending on when he's ready to come back. I'm trying to think of other players maybe that would know his system, maybe like Chase Daniel spent some time with him, and Mitchell Trubisky's back, but I don't think the Bears are going to be in any hurry to get rid of their backup quarterback. So, you know, we would have to see who they bring in. But I could see them running the ball more and going leaning more on McCoy, but I don't think I feel comfortable saying he's a trade target. However, if you've owned him and he's been kind of in that flex rotation, I do think his floor is probably going to be more solid from week to week. So, you know, maybe you feel good about that. But I don't think I feel comfortable calling him a trade target, Travis, to answer your question.
Okay, and that's fair, because, I mean, it's when a quarterback goes down, it's a little bit risky to call anybody a trade target. But I think because the concern is there, I think that makes their value even cheaper. If somebody is a competing team, even one of the teams that's competing against you, obviously they might be a little curious as to why you're asking about acquiring LeSean McCoy. But they might see that as a player that they can no longer really trust or use. And if you believe in the schedule, which is about average or so, and you think that there might be an uptick in that usage in the receiving game, and really, I mean, McCoy, coming into this game, Damian Williams was averaging like 2 yards per carry. Like, McCoy had been the far superior talent this year in terms of efficiency on his touches. So I don't know if that's going to hold, but I would bet on McCoy down the stretch. So if this does depress his price on a competitor, especially somebody that you're potentially competing against, and they're not really thinking about that in week 7 or 8, I would at least go fishing to see what the price is on somebody like that. But let's talk about what this means to, let's say the best for last, the wide receivers, because that's going to be kind of the mess with Travis Kelce. Let's talk about the tight ends, and are you concerned, Curtis, when it comes to Travis Kelce and his outlook down the stretch this year?
Yeah, I'm definitely concerned. He is among the leaders in the league this season at the position in fantasy scoring, but we haven't really seen the consistently elite production from him, even with Mahomes back there. We have just one game over 20 PPR for Travis Kelce so far. A couple games with 15 points and the rest, you know, on down below that. He actually in week 1 wasn't even a tight end one, which is odd for Travis Kelce. So already seeing him, you know, maybe not be quite at the level that we were accustomed to or expecting coming into the year. Maybe he gets, you know, again, maybe he gets pummeled with targets just because, you know, a backup quarterback or somebody new to the system may feel comfortable with those underneath routes or those middle of the field matchup routes that Kelce gets versus trying to force things on the outside. But I think the touchdown potential with literally anyone who's brought in is going to be a drop off from Patrick Mahomes, obviously. So I think the question we have to ask here is, if you're a playoff contender right now, maybe you're not even the number one team in your dynasty league, but let's just say you're in the playoff picture. From a dynasty perspective, and with this understanding that, you know, Kelce's output already wasn't at the elite level, are you willing to move him for somebody further down? And I'm going to say outside even that top tier that we talked about at the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, we kind of talked about, you know, a Kelce, Kittle, Evan Ingram, and then maybe Zach Ertz being in kind of a top tier. Are you willing to move Travis Kelce straight up for Evan Ingram on a competitor when you think about Evan Ingram having a top 5 or top 6 per the RotoViz strength of schedule streaming app, top 6 at the position schedule rest of season?
Yeah.
You willing to make that pivot straight up if you can even find it?
Man, that's tough. I mean, you could just talk about the age difference between the two and get a little bit more excited about Evan Ingram. And then if you assume that the rest of the season is a loss for what you think Travis Kelce should be giving you, I'd say that they are very close in market value. And I would probably look at what the price difference is between, you know, my perception as a Kelce's owner and an Evan Ingram owner. Like, especially if the Evan Ingram owner is not necessarily competitive this year, I think that conversation absolutely has to happen, just because you I don't know how close that is. I don't think I'd do it straight up right now today. And mainly that's because I've seen the targets that Kelce's still gotten this year. I mean, he's top three in targets this year. He just hasn't had the touchdowns. He's got one touchdown coming into this week, but he's got 49 targets in the first six games of the year. And already tonight, the game's not even over, and he already has another eight targets. So after tonight, he will be leading all tight ends in targets. So I think his opportunity is still going to be there. And like you said, I think he will probably still be targeted and relied upon. And because whatever backup quarterback is not going to be hitting those deep bombs to Tyreek Hill as much as Patrick Mahomes would. I know Matt Moore connected with Tyreek Hill on a long touchdown tonight, but that's probably not something you want to count on all the time. So I'm not eager to go make that one-for-one trade, but I'm definitely going to ask what the difference is between the two, because if it isn't that expensive, I'm going to be making that pivot just looking at the schedule. Because, yeah, the Giants have it better, and really the Chiefs are about middle of the road again as far as tight ends go. But if the passing game just can't get going at all, I'm not going to want to rely on Kelce as much as I would somebody like Evan Ingram. So I get that, but what is the difference to you between those two?
I mean, the gap is ever narrowing. I think about that situation, I'm trying to imagine what, from the Evan Ingram owner's side, why would they want to make that trade?
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, the only reason would be maybe if they wanted to pair him with Mahomes or something.
Yeah. Because even if they aren't competitive this year,
you're going to do like a pseudo tank. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that trade's going to be hard to make. I mean, I think you're probably actually going to have to add to
Kelce's side.
The Ingram owner has all the leverage in that conversation, probably. So you probably have to add to Kelce. So I think the question's actually, you know, would you be willing to add like a second round pick to Kelce to pivot to Ingram? That's probably the question to ask, because that's probably how to start a conversation at this point. For me, it's probably going to depend on the stakes of the league. How much can I win?
I think exactly.
In a higher stakes dynasty league, I'm probably willing to do that in a league where it's, you know, like in an FFPC style league, probably more willing to have those conversations in a high stakes FFPC league versus, you know, a really deep MFL league where I've got, you know, a $50 buy-in or something like that. I might not be willing to deconstruct my team for this pivot.
Yeah. I think I would definitely do that in a more high stakes situation where I'm already in looking pretty, like say my team's 5-1 right now coming into the week, and I absolutely have to keep that positional advantage going. Yeah, I'd be willing to kind of part ways with a little plus on the Kelce side for sure. I think that changes everything. So league to league and premium to not premium to two tight end to one tight end, whatever your league requirements are, it's going to be a little bit different. But obviously, I think where we're landing is Evan Ingram has just passed up Travis Kelce. Would you agree with that just right now?
Is even with Kelce?
Yeah, he's even or passed him up in terms of ranking and value.
I don't know, man.
Because it sounds like
I think I got to sleep on it. I need to see. I mean, if the Chiefs trade for like Nick Foles tomorrow or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Tight ends last. I mean, Kelce. I mean, we're staring at the age 30 situation, but we know tight ends, especially the elite tight ends, can hold on and last. But we are on the sunset horizon of Kelce's career, even if we're going to say that a quarterback like Mahomes could prop him up a little longer. Jeez, I guess where I'm at is if you want to make the deal, I'll bless it. I still don't know how I'm actually going to rank this as of tomorrow morning. I honestly got to sleep on it, and I probably got to take a few more sips of this Knob Creek for things to become clear. Let's talk about some trades that maybe would be more likely to happen though at the tight end position.
Sure.
So let's stay in the same division. Darren Waller just signed a mega extension with the Raiders, and I could see a Darren Waller owner trying to leverage that contract to make a pivot if they're not a long-term believer in Waller. Waller is fifth in expected PPR points per game per the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer at the tight end position, 11th in air yards at the position, second in receptions, and that's even with a week six bye in there. So, I mean, he's absolutely dominating at the position, and now he's locked up for the long term. We've seen even before Darren Waller broke out this year, that John Gruden wants to lean on the tight end that David or Derek Carr. I always say David Carr, man. We're a decade past this thing. that Derek Carr wants to use the tight end in that offense. Jared Cook famously, was a difference maker in 2018 at the position. So what would you require on top of Darren Waller to sell a Kelce share?
On top of Darren Waller, I think you got to be looking at, even in like pretty standard leagues, you have to be looking at what, like a late first, like something like that. And I do think Darren Waller's role can get even better too. I think you could almost, if you are, I would be buying, if I'm the Kelce owner, I have to go and assume that Waller's eventually going to get a touchdown. You know, like he doesn't have a touchdown on 42 targets. Like if you look at the top 29 tight ends in terms of PPR scoring right now, all of them except for Waller have a touchdown. And that, so that positive regression is going to hit, and his price is going to get even higher. So I would be looking for somebody exactly like this if I'm looking to pivot and want to get something in return. So at least a late first, but I'd want like a mid first probably. If I'm really selling off of Kelce, is that kind of the price range you were thinking?
Yeah, I think just the sticker shock of only getting a second would be difficult. I think I might even do Kelce in a second for Waller in a first if I felt confident that the first was not going to be a playoff first. Might be willing to just do a pick swap instead of just getting the pick. Hey, did you? I mean, Waller is first among all tight ends and team target market share. He's got a 27% market share for the Raiders. So, I mean, it's a small sample size, and he's had a very complex NFL career to date. And we've seen guys have crazy quarter seasons and then fall off. We've seen guys even have elite tight end seasons and fall off. For those of you that might remember Gary Barnage, late breakout and then never to be heard of again. So, I mean, there's some risk associated with going after a player like this. But I think rest of season, I mean, Waller's a real threat, especially now that he's passed his bye. I mean, Waller could very, very reasonably be a more important fantasy asset rest of 2019 than Kelce. So I think this type of trade could make some sense if you want to pivot off of Kelce and you're on that title run. Let's pick one other situation here. Let's skip over Kittle. That owner's not going to make that pivot. Let's go down to
OJ Howard. No, just kidding. He's horrible.
Austin Hooper.
Oh man.
Austin Hooper has the 29th worst remaining tight end schedule and is also not past his bye. But Austin Hooper is just scorching the earth, having his true breakout in his fourth season. Per the RotoViz NFL Stat Explorer, he's top eight in literally every important receiving metric that you could assign to a tight end. And he's top three in most of them. I mean, second in targets, first in receptions, second in receiving yards, second in touchdowns, fourth in air yards, first in, you know, he's PPR tight end one so far, second
yeah, that's
on a per game basis, third in expected points per game, and the touchdowns really are helping. He's actually seventh at the position in team target market share, but five out of six games that he's played, he has been a tight end one. Three out of his six games, he scored more than 20 PPR. I mean, if you own Austin Hooper, you're probably in the playoff picture. So that is another thing to keep in mind. The Hooper owner may not feel compelled to pivot from Hooper to Kelce, but let's talk about that scenario just in case they're not a believer and they see the Falcons at 1-5 as not a viable team and this is just a mirage. I'm going to sell them high. Would have never dreamed that I could pivot off of Hooper for Kelce earlier in the season. Would you trade Travis Kelce for Austin Hooper straight up?
No, not straight up. But I do like Austin Hooper. He is like top everything this year, and that's fantastic. But I think he does cool off, like you said. And so I think he comes down to earth a little bit, and he doesn't continue the same, you know, even if he continues the same run of receiving touchdowns, I'm not sure that the yardage is going to continue at the same click, or in the same pace with the other options there. I don't think I could do that. But
you would just ride Kelce? Because, I mean, the Hooper owner is not going to add anything, right? I mean, do we expect an Austin Hooper owner to add anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not. If I'm the Hooper owner, again, that's one of the situations where that Hooper owner has the leverage, and so that stinks. But I don't think that's a trade I get done as a Kelce owner. But I'm looking to do that type of thing if I'm the Hooper owner, trying to milk that value for as much as I can, knowing that. Even though my guy's on the upswing, I don't think he's going to hold the same pace necessarily and finish with 250 PPR.
So this comes down to this comes down to, I think what I'm hearing, what I'm sensing from you, is you believe Travis Kelce in 2020 and beyond, regardless of what's going to happen rest of the season, in 2020 and beyond, has enough remaining dynasty value that even if it means having to resort to improving your stance at another position on your roster, you would rather ride out Travis Kelce and take your chances on either a Patrick Mahomes return or that whoever the Chiefs bring in can still prop up Travis Kelce to the point where he's at least not a liability in your starting lineup. You'd rather stay the course there than try to force some sort of trade with a Waller or Hooper level tight end.
Yeah, ideally, yes. I think so. I think that's, you don't lose value there. I mean, like trading guys, you know, in situations surrounding some kind of injury, whether it's directed to that player or someone related to that player, you're always selling below what it just was like 2 or 3 hours ago, and then what their value will probably be 2 or 3 months from now. So it's just not the kind of move that I typically seek out to make. But I'm looking if I can get somebody like an Ingram that I really believe in long term, and that maybe that doesn't happen, but that's the kind of player I'm pursuing. These other players, not necessarily, but you know, okay. it could be worse.
So I think where I'm at is I agree with you. I don't think that I would pay extra. Well, I would not pay extra from Kelce to pivot to Hooper right now. I do think I would be exploring Kelce for Waller trades because it means that much to me. It means that much to me to bring home the ship this year. If I truly think I can.
Yeah.
If my team is constructed in a way where I've got a high floor team that also has some ceiling, and tight end positional advantage has been a key to me and my success so far this year, moving to a player who's looking like he's a top three lock at the position rest of season, who's also passed his bye, who also has a favorable remaining schedule at the position, I think I'm going to explore that more because I do think maybe I could get the Waller owner to add something or do some sort of pick swap in there and get that done. That's probably where I would go. But otherwise, I think I agree. I would stay put. And I'm not even sure, at least tonight, if I would make that pivot for Evan Ingram. So let's, before we move on to the wide receiver position, why don't you tell us what our friends at Roman have for us?
Yeah, sure. So Roman is one of our sponsors, and talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. And usually we just, you know, brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, you know, I just lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, you know, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it, or sorry, honey, I've got to go record a podcast with Curtis. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it, and with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you and find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with, you know, free 2-day shipping. Talk about awesome. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. And getting started is simple. You can just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with the doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire.
All right, Travis, let's talk about the wide receivers. And this is another tough topic here because the Chiefs already, before this Mahomes injury, the Chiefs had the 32nd easiest, or I guess let's just do this reverse. They had the toughest remaining wide receiver schedule of every team in the NFL. Now, typically, we would gloss over that because of an asset like Tyreek Hill and a right arm like Mahomes. I mean, they're basically matchup proof, at least that pair. But maybe for, you know, the peripheral pieces like Robinson or Hardman, things already were looking a little bit bleak for the rest of the season. Now, that really gets called into question. And as I'm even looking at what's happened here in the second half of the game as it's being played while we're talking, Travis Kelce leads the team with 8 targets. Looks like he's getting a fed basically on the short little dig routes over and over. He's got a line of 6 catches for 44 yards, Travis, and the receivers are not doing much outside of the big play to Hill and Hardman earlier in the game. So we're already starting to see some of this maybe come to fruition against the Broncos with Matt Moore at the helm. So let's talk about Tyreek Hill. In this scenario, let's say that we find out this weekend that Patrick Mahomes is opting to have surgery. They're shutting him down. They're protecting the investment long term. How far down the list of dynasty wide receivers are you willing to go moving off of Tyreek Hill to get that title this year?
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, just to make a pivot, like straight up, just one for one?
Yeah, one for one, no picks involved, a deal that's obviously attractive to the other owner, but you feel gives you the leg up and preserves your title hopes for this year. I'm going to read off some names among the top. This is not necessarily sorted for dynasty purposes. This is who's really killing it in 2019 here. Okay, I'm not even going to look at PPR. I'm going to look at receiving leaders. Let's just go by targets here. That's how I've got it sorted right now. So Cooper Kupp, you're going to trade Tyreek Hill for Cooper Kupp.
We talked about, you know, where he was last week, and I don't think I could do that for Cooper Kupp still. Even it's just, I couldn't, I thought about it this week. I slept on it. I was like, man, I couldn't do it for Cooper Kupp. I think I still have, you know, a few other guys in that tier that we kind of talked about on the previous episode, just a little bit ahead of Kupp. So probably not him.
Okay. The Michael Thomas owner's not going to make the trade. Keenan Allen. Would you trade Tyreek Hill for Keenan Allen?
Yeah. Even though he kind of ghosted last week, yes, I think I would take that kind of value right now.
See, that's interesting to me with Kupp outperform. So you either expect Keenan Allen to have a better second half, or you just believe in the talent and think he's a more sound investment than Kupp?
Yes, that.
Okay. Okay.
Mainly that. And I think we're going to see some numbers that are a little bit friendlier for the other two wide receivers down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going to be the Cooper Kupp show. Whereas Keenan Allen, everyone is falling apart around him. Hunter Henry just came back, so there's a little bit of a threat there. But Travis Benjamin just got put on IR. Mike Williams has struggled to stay healthy at times. And I do believe that Keenan Allen is just a runaway. I mean, one of the top 5 wide receivers in the game possibly anyway. So I'm still preferring Allen there.
Okay, so that's our first actionable advice here at the wide receiver position. DeAndre Hopkins owner, probably, even though he's having a little bit of a slow start, don't think that owner is going to make that trade. A pair of receivers that we talked a lot about last week in Tampa Bay. Yeah. Would you trade Tyreek Hill for either of the Buccaneers receivers, Mike Evans or Chris Godwin?
Yep, Chris Godwin, definitely. And Mike Evans probably, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So more actionable. This is an interesting one. I don't know if this owner would make this trade or not. Would you trade Tyreek Hill for Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'm not sure, just because I'm not sure how much that really been. I would love to say that I believe that Odell Beckham is going to bounce back. and is going to start scoring more touchdowns. By the same logic I used earlier with other players, I mean, he only has one touchdown on 54 targets. That's probably going to correct itself at some point. But I don't think I want to make a move that I'm not sure is going to mean much more for my team.
Yeah, so let's dig into that a little bit further because I can see what you're saying here. I mean, Cleveland has the third most difficult schedule for wide receivers from a fantasy scoring perspective rest of season. They're on bye this week, so you would have already gotten Tyreek Hill's points tonight trading for Beckham, who would then be past his bye, so you'd get a little bit of a bounce there. But coming off the bye, Cleveland plays New England, Denver, Buffalo. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's
nope, brutal.
Nope and nope.
But yeah. then there's a big but here. Week 11 to week 15, Travis, the Cleveland Browns schedule, Pittsburgh Steelers, slightly better than neutral, Miami Dolphins, Pittsburgh Steelers again, Cincinnati, Arizona. So you could make a real run there potentially with Odell Beckham Jr. over that five-week stretch. And then in week 16, they get Baltimore. Now, Odell Beckham Jr. is not the receiver who blew up against Baltimore earlier this season. It was Jarvis Landry, but the Browns did not have any trouble moving the ball on the Ravens defense. So I think, you know, you would have three tough weeks to get through. And if your team's struggling, you know, if you're a 500 team because of missing Tyreek Hill earlier this season and you need that immediate bounce, it's probably not a deal that you make. But if we find out that Mahomes is gone rest of season and the OBJ owner is frustrated and is focused more on those three upcoming games, you know, do you trust maybe that bounce off of those last 5 to 6 weeks? I don't know. That's a pretty tough one for me. I do believe
right
in
there.
Odell Beckham Jr.'s talent. I think that I probably would make that pivot. I'd have to think hard about it, but I think I would do that one for one, and I would just take the risk. I wouldn't feel as good about it as some of those other guys you're talking about in terms of preserving my chances or boosting my chances this year, but I think I'd take the risk because I basically see them as even assets at this point.
And that's fair. There would definitely be a large concern. Uncertainty with both, but so that's right there for me. But I can't. But I understand you going for it there.
Let's throw a few more names out there, just for practical application purposes. DJ Moore, would you trade Tyreek Hill for DJ Moore?
No, I'm a DJ Moore fanboy. I have been since September of his final year at Maryland, but mm-hmm. You know, I can't.
I wouldn't either.
I don't think he's quite. Yeah, and you love him too, but it's just not quite there yet.
Okay, this player we don't know where he's going to play in 2020. Amari Cooper, and he's also ouchy.
Yeah, he is also ouchy. Oh, man.
If he wasn't ouchy,
I
think you'd just do it. If he wasn't ouchy, I think you'd just do it.
Kind of same
right?
dunk. Yeah.
But he is out.
But I don't think it's going to be like.
Let's. This is
such
a tough
a mess.
One. That is a tough.
That's
one.
That's such a mess. No, I think I'd still prefer to keep Tyreek there.
Now Dallas is not passed their bye. Dallas gets Philly this week. Now in a lot of leagues, your players lock after they've played, so you may not be able to trade Tyreek and then still post points from Amari Cooper this week. Then he has his bye in week 8. Then he gets the New York Giants in week 9, juicy matchup. Then Dallas has a brutal stretch in the running up to the playoffs phase of the season. Minnesota, Detroit, New England, Buffalo, Chicago. That's pretty tough. But then in the semifinals and finals of the fantasy playoffs, the Cowboys get the Los Angeles Rams. Now, they did just trade for Jalen Ramsey, so we have to throw in some context that the rest of the season, they may perform better against wide receivers than they have so far. And Amari Cooper would likely draw shadow coverage from Jalen Ramsey in that matchup. So it's not even though that's green in the strength of schedule streaming app right now, probably not green by the time we get closer to week 15. But in the title game, Dallas gets the Philadelphia Eagles, the most porous pass defense known to man. but I agree. I mean, he basically Amari Cooper has some smash matchups and then some, you know, clear avoid matchups. And honestly, two of the three attractive matchups come in the next 3 weeks, and he's kind of banged up right now. So I think I would not make the trade right now. That's where I'm at.
Fair enough. What are you doing with Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson?
So I think this could potentially open up a buy window on Mecole Hardman. I think There already was a buy window on him earlier in the season, just from not playing each week. Any boost that he would have gotten tonight from the early touchdown has probably been totally canceled out by the Mahomes injury. And I really think if we find out that Mahomes is dead rest of season from the right owner, I mean, you might be able to move like 2020 second round picks for Mecole Hardman. That might have been in play even with Mahomes still playing. But I like the idea of targeting him. Sammy Watkins, we talked about several weeks ago, and we had really liked what he was doing through the first several weeks of the season in the absence of Tyreek Hill. But he basically fell off a cliff the second Hill returned, and then now he's had more of the soft tissue injuries. I think the frustrating roller coaster ride of Sammy Watkins has just continued, and it's put me more in the camp of investing in Mecole Hardman as the secondary wide receiver for the long term in Kansas City, especially if Robinson isn't to return next year. So I like the idea of buying Hardman. Don't think you'll have to invest a lot. At Robinson, I think if you invest in him, it's probably thinking maybe that he gets a bigger role elsewhere outside of Kansas City next year. I mean, what do you think about those two players?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before. I think that's definitely a viable scenario for DeMarcus Robinson. So I'd be actually, again, using this as an opportunity to target DeMarcus Robinson and probably fading Hardman still, just because it's going to be Tyreek Hill. It's going to be Travis Kelce for a while still here. And really, Hardman's only kind of taken advantage of opportunities when players have missed for the most part. He kind of had the early touchdown, but tonight, but it's still, he's never going to be the high target type guy. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson has even still out targeted him again tonight and has done so on the season. So I was never sold on his profile or him as a prospect, and probably will never be sold on him as a prospect. So I'm probably avoiding him and just looking for cheap options for DeMarcus with, you know, the ambiguity surrounding his contract and future and the short-term downturn in outlook for him this year. So just kind of planning for the future there if I can.
Well, Travis, in the words of the great Ron Burgundy, we're just agree to disagree on Mecole Hardman. agree to
enough.
It's and it's role-based for me more so than talent-based, but I do think he's shown enough. So we hope that this emergency episode will help you, if nothing else, just kind of cope and get through the situation. We're all stressing together. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, this just sucks. I mean, you hate to see this for Patrick Mahomes as a player. You hate to see it for the Kansas City Chiefs, who are clearly on a championship trajectory, just in general, whether or not you think that would happen this year, certainly is in their future to be competing for the Super Bowl often, especially on Mahomes' first contract here still. And so, you know, you just hate to see this. And we don't want to see people's fantasy seasons tank, especially if you're really ready to bring home that dynasty title. So, you know, our advice here really is to be bold. If you truly feel you can bring home that title, explore the trade options. If you're not sure what to do, you can hop in the Dynasty Command Center Slack. The chat has been blowing up tonight already. And some of our other analysts have been handling those questions as we've been recording. But that's a great resource. You can check out more info on our Slack at dynastycommandcenter.com. But yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll also be checking our Twitter feeds. I'm at CPatrickNFL. Travis, of course, at FM or FF underscore Travis M. Of course, that's at FF underscore Travis M. Thanks for joining us for this emergency episode. Travis, anything to take it home?
Yeah, and until next time, keep living that dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.